The reading, as Pastor said, is from Matthew chapter 20. For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire men to work in his vineyard. He agreed to pay them a denarius for the day and sent them into his vineyard. About the third hour, he went out and saw others standing in the marketplace doing nothing. He told them, "You also go and work in my vineyard, and I will pay you whatever is right." So they went. He went out again about the sixth hour and the ninth hour and did the same thing. About the 11th hour of the day, he went out and found still others standing around. He asked them, "Why have you been standing here all day long doing nothing?" "Because no one has hired us," they answered. He said to them, "You also go and work in my vineyard." When evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his foreman, "Call the workers and pay them their wages, beginning with the last ones hired and going on to the first." The workers who were hired about the 11th hour came and each received a denarius. So when those came who were hired first, they expected to receive more. But each one of them also received a denarius. When they received it, they began to grumble against the landowner. "These men who were hired last worked only 1 hour," they said, "and you have made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the work and the heat of the day." But he answered one of them, "Friend, I am not being unfair to you. Didn't you agree to work for a denarius? Take your pay and go. I want to give the man who was hired last the same as I gave you. Don't I have the right to do what I want with my own money? Or are you envious because I'm generous?" So the last will be first, and the first will be last. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord our God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Paul, do you like things when they're fair? Do you like fairness? Pretty much, I thought so. What about you, Michelle? Do you like things fair? I like it when things are fair. I'm not so sure things feel very fair these days to a lot of people, and maybe even to us as well. I mean, there's all kinds of ways that the idea of fairness is getting questioned or challenged, maybe especially with all the things going on with the health crisis right now. Face masks and ventilators. You know, how much is right? Where should it go? Should it go here? Should it go there? Hand sanitizer? Toilet paper? I mean, my goodness, most stores are trying to be fair and say, well, you can have this much, but not that much. We have to have enough for everybody. We just need to be fair. And you can tell that some people especially are worried about how fair things are and concerned that things might get very unfair, perhaps even to the point of losing law and order. And you know this is true because you see the reports in the news and how sales of guns and ammunition have surged in the last few days, presumably because people, at least some people, are worried that law and order will go out the window, people will become unfair, try to take their stuff. Right? That's not fair. But even apart from all this going on right now, even in normal circumstances, we have a general sense of appreciating when things are fair. We generally agree with the concept of earning your keep. We kind of get it almost inherently, almost naturally, that, you know, you just want a good day's wage for a fair day's work and things like that. You know, that was really drilled into me as a kid growing up in my household, probably for a lot of you too. There were times when I would gripe or whine about having to do one chore or another. And in my household, I would hear the verse from 2 Thessalonians a lot. The one where it says, "He who does not work, neither shall he eat." And that scared me because I like to eat. So fairness is kind of a big deal. We want there to be the right level of fairness in all kinds of ways. And we want God to be fair. We really want and expect God to be fair, to take notice of our efforts, of our blood, sweat, and tears, of going above and beyond, and then to reward us accordingly, because that would be simply fair. But God's ways are not our ways. God's thoughts are not our thoughts. And nowhere is that more clear than the parable you just heard from Matthew chapter 20, the parable of the vineyard workers, or I think more appropriately we should call it the parable of the vineyard owner, because that's really what it's about. And it concluded, as you heard, the first will be last, and the last will be first. Now that's crazy. That is not fair. I mean, that's bizarre. Who does that? Who says that kind of thing? But God isn't fair, right? God is not fair. God is just. God is gracious. God is merciful. God is good. God is all-powerful. God is a whole bunch of things that we can find evidence all over the Bible for, but nowhere does it tell us that God is fair. In fact, we get all kinds of evidence that God is not fair. Just how not fair is God? Let me tell you a story, Jesus says, that will help you understand just how not fair God is. There was a vineyard owner. We understand vineyard owners in this part of the world, right? All up and down the coast, Oregon, Washington, California. There's a vineyard owner. He has this wonderful vineyard, and it's been a wonderful season, perfect conditions, just the right amount of sunshine, just the right amount of rain, and now all the grapes are ripening just beautifully. They are at their peak of their ripeness. Right now, it's time to pick these grapes today, right? Yesterday would have been just a little too early. Tomorrow's going to be too late. So it has to be today. So at the crack of dawn, this vineyard owner, he gets up, he jumps into his pickup truck, he goes down to the union hall or employment agency, whatever it is, and he hires every last worker that he can find. They're going to get a full day's of work. They'll receive the union wages just as would be expected. Now, Jesus' day, a day's worth of work, was called a denarius. You've heard of that name, right, for the coin, the denarius. Not exactly sure what the exchange rate would be in today's dollars, but let's just say for our purposes, let's just call it $100, okay? Makes the math easier. So $100 for one day's work of unskilled labor. We all agree that this is fair, no question about it. So he hires all these workers, they go to the vineyard, they start harvesting these grapes, and things are going wonderfully. They're really going well. But after a few hours, he can tell they're not going well enough. He can see the progress they're making is very good, but he looks over the fields and he knows that they're not going to get it all done with this amount of workers. They've barely made a dent in the Pinot Noir, much less the Merlots or the Cabernets, whatever it is. So maybe about 9 or 10 o'clock, he gets back into his pickup truck. He goes down to the street corner where he knows there are people kind of hanging out at, I don't know, 82nd and Powell or something like this, right? And he goes down there and he hires every blessed person that he could find. He doesn't spend a lot of time working out a deal. He just says, I'll just pay you whatever's right. Which is vague, obviously, but this guy has an excellent reputation, so they trust him. And they need the work. So off they go. And now things are moving along better. The speed in the harvest has picked up, and it's midday, and now the sky starts to cloud over. There's a possibility of rain, which would not be good. One of the workers get all wet and messy, but it could cause some sort of fungus stuff to grow, and that would be bad for the grapes, terrible for the wine. And so he heads out to find even more workers to pick up the pace even more. He goes down to like Home Depot and Lowe's and just gets the word out that he's hiring anybody and everybody. And he picks up all the workers that he can and takes them out to the vineyard, and they get to work too. But still, it's not enough. Now it's about 5 in the afternoon. It's getting darker, not much daylight left. But there's still grapes out there. And they don't have enough people still. But he doesn't know where else to look. But then he gets an idea. Gets back in his pickup truck. He goes down to the local bar. And he goes inside to find, well, not workers exactly, more like, I would probably consider them riffraff, perhaps. These are the kind of the people that society has rejected for one reason or another. A lot of tattoos and pierced body parts and the mohawk painted blue, things like that. The music is going full blast. At least they would call it music. He wouldn't. And he goes over and he unplugs the stereo system, which gets him a lot of nasty looks. But he says to them, he says, "What are you people doing here? Why aren't you people working?" And they say, "Oh, well, there aren't any jobs." Not really sure if they'd actually be looking. "Well," he says, "there's jobs now, right now. I need workers. You need work. I'm willing to pay, even if it is, just for 1 hour." So they figure, why not? An hour's work, that sounds pretty easy. And, you know, 1/12 of a denarius, not a lot of money. You need to light a couple extra beers. Okay, so they go off with him too. They get to the vineyard. They put in that last hour of work. Pretty soon it is 6 o'clock. The sun is touching the horizon. It's time to pack it up. And just as the whistle blows, snip, the very last bunch of grapes gets picked from the farthest corner of the vineyard. They did it. They got every blessed grape in that entire vineyard, all in the time frame that they were given. And the vineyard owner is one happy winemaker. He's ecstatic. He gathers his workers together because he wants to thank them. He tells them what a fantastic job they've done, how much he appreciates their efforts. He says, I don't really want to thank you, not just as a group, I want to thank you personally, every single one of you. So I want you to line up. Line up, and I want you to line up in reverse order so that those of you who got here first, I'm going to pay you first. I mean, put that backwards. Those of you who got here last, I'm going to pay you first. Those of you who've been here for the 12 hours, I'm going to pay you last. Well, it's obvious what he's going to do, right? He's going to pay the 1 hour workers less. That's all they deserve. He'll pay them first. Hopefully, they'll take off and they won't be there to get envious or something when he pays the 6 hour workers, nine of the 12 hour workers, probably a lot of bonus money, and he doesn't want to make it awkward. So, the first in line have requested. Here are the 1 hour workers, hired practically at the last minute. They didn't even really break a sweat. They have no blisters on their hands from this or anything like that. But even so, the vineyard owner knows he could not have done it without them. And so the first one in line, he says, "Thank you for your work today." He hands him his envelope with the pay in there. The guy takes a peek inside, expecting to find, well, an hour's work, what would that be? $8? $10? But he looks inside, and when he looks inside the envelope, he finds a crisp $100 bill. A full day's wage. He doesn't say anything. He thinks, oh, there must have been some mistake, but I'm not going to blow it, right? There's a huge smile on his face. He just kind of takes off, take the money and run. The next guy is another 1 hour worker. "Thank you for your time." He looks at his envelope, and he also gets $100. Well, real quickly, the whispering starts in earnest. The information spreads like wildfire. Can you believe it? This guy is paying $100 an hour. Now, if this rumor is true, this is really exciting for the guys and gals at the back of the line, the 12-hour workers. Math is simple, right? They would be getting $1,200 for just one day's worth of work. I mean, that's the way they figure it. But in all their figuring, they had not figured on one thing. In the vineyard of this vineyard owner, pay is based not on the worker's performance, but the pay is based on the owner's goodness. And man, oh man, this owner is good. This owner is so good that it seems crazy. It seems unfair. You see, they're all getting $100. Whether they work for 1 hour, 6 hours, 12 hours, whether they've picked an entire wagon load full of grapes, or whether they're just, you know, one cluster, the same pay. And so you can imagine that as the line of workers gets shorter, their faces get longer. Finally, they can't stand it anymore. It's not fair, they say. They tell the landowner, these 12-hour workers, they tell the landowner, when you pay us the same as the ones who only worked for an hour, you insult us because you are treating us the same as them. But the owner says, No, you're looking at this backwards. I am not treating you like them. I'm treating them like you. You see, I'm not being unfair. In fact, the very opposite. I'm being more than fair. I'm being super fair, which is my privilege to do. This is my joy to do this. So according to Jesus, this is what God is like. This is what the grace of God is like. God's grace is an outrageous kind of grace. It's even sometimes an annoying kind of grace, because it's the kind of grace that grates on our sense of fairness, of what an equal kind of exchange is. It's a grace that makes winners out of losers and losers out of winners. The first become last, and the last become first. It's obviously not fair. Now, I learned a long time ago, Michelle, Paul, we all learned a long time ago, that you can save yourself a lot of grief in life if you simply accept the fact that so often life, it isn't fair. You're not going to be treated fairly everything all the time. And we complain about it, we can compare it, good at complaining about it, even though it doesn't really do anything. And in truth, there's only one person in the entire history of the world, there's only one person who can legitimately say it's not fair. And that one person is Jesus Christ. And yet those words never crossed his lips. It wasn't fair when, as an infant, he and his family had to flee for their lives from Bethlehem because that crazy, paranoid King Herod was out to take his life. It wasn't fair. It wasn't fair when the people of Nazareth, his own hometown, when instead of embracing him as a favorite son, they rejected him. They tried to throw him off a cliff. That wasn't fair. It wasn't fair that his own mother and brothers suspected that he had a screw loose. It wasn't fair that he was accused of using satanic powers when he healed people and did good. It wasn't fair that nine times out of ten, when he healed somebody, they didn't come back to say thank you. It wasn't fair when the religious leaders of his own church plotted to assassinate him. It wasn't fair when the government of the land, the Roman government that prided itself on being civilized, refused him basic justice. It wasn't fair when his best friends turned their backs on him in his hour of need. It wasn't fair when one of them sold him for 30 pieces of silver and another one denied even knowing him three times in one night. None of it was fair. But not once did Jesus complain. Not once did he say, this isn't fair. Even when our sins were so heavy on him and the anguish so great that it caused him to sweat what the Bible says were like great drops of blood. Or when witnesses lied about him. Or when they whipped him and ridiculed him. There was no demand for fairness. When they spit on him. When they pressed the thorns into his head. He didn't say, stop, that's not fair. For Jesus, it was okay. It was okay because he did not come to establish fairness. He came to die for us all. The Bible says, you probably are familiar with the verse, Romans 5, verse 8, where it says, God demonstrates his own love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. That's not fair. God did not say, well, I want to be fair about this, so first of all, you guys repent, then I'll send my son. God did not say, show me some real contrition. I mean, like, grovel in front of me, like, I really mean it. Then I'll send my son. God didn't say, well, prove to me that you'll actually appreciate this. Right? I don't want to send him into the world and then you don't love him, because that wouldn't be fair. God didn't say any of those things. God so loved the world that he sent his son anyway. Now, I know the word anyway is not in your Bibles, but the idea, right? In fact, it wouldn't be a bad idea. Just go ahead and pencil that in. John 3:16, God so loved the world anyway. Jesus knew he would be despised. Jesus knew he would be denied, but he came anyway. He knew he would be disrespected and hated, and he came anyway. He knew he'd be nailed to a cross and murdered, but he came anyway. It was not fair, but it was grace. Unfair, undeserved, unearned, unmerited, unwanted, unappreciated grace. God's economy of grace is just so unfair that his own perfect son, Jesus Christ, gets rejection and ridicule and torture and death, even though he worked perfectly all day in the vineyard, never taking a break, and yet he gets nothing. He gets what we deserve. His compensation for a lifetime of perfection is crucifixion. It isn't fair, but it's God's choice, not ours. So as you look at what's going around the world today, as you think about what's happening in your own life, if you sense a growing unfairness in one way or another, and you want to do something with it, well, then do what God has done for you. Do the unsettling thing. Do the gracious thing. You know, especially now with all this that's going on, serve someone. Or maybe it's the other way around. You need to kind of swallow your pride and somebody serve you. Give your time and energy to someone or some cause beyond what it deserves. Show kindness to someone who they kind of really don't like you. And maybe you don't like them, but do it because that's what God has done for you. This is how he's just treated you. That's grace. So obviously there's more than the usual amount of fear, anxiety that's swirling around these days. There are people whose lives are changing in the blink of an eye in ways that they were never that no one is ever anticipating. They've lost jobs. Graduation isn't going to happen. A wedding has to be postponed, and on and on and on. And besides, who knows what's going to happen next? Who knows if this health crisis will be over by the end of the month or still going on by the end of the year? That's why our job, your job and my job, is to be unfair with them in the Jesus way of being unfair. Show some extra grace. Have a little extra patience. A little extra love. For some people, this is the 11th hour. They're getting to the vineyard late, or maybe they're still trying to find the way. Be ready to show them. Be ready to show them grace as well. Be ready to share what you learned from Jesus again today. That we serve an unfair God. A wonderfully unfair God. Who finds joy in offering us so much more than we deserve. So guys, let's not be fair. Okay? Our calling as God's children is to be intentionally unfair so that we'll be last, but others will be first. After all, isn't that what Jesus did for you? Maybe your life has had its share of bitterness, of loneliness. Maybe you've been dealt a hand that's a bad hand in one way or another. You didn't have any control over it. Life just hasn't been always fair, and now you're worried. Maybe even it's going to get worse. Well, listen. The Savior who lived his entire life continually oppressed by unrelenting unfairness with nail-pierced hands is reaching out to you to offer you something. It's not a denarius. It's life. It's being in his presence eternally. It's got your name on it. In fact, if you want to be fair, if that truly is what you're after, then the truth is that you and I would deserve a whole lot less. But the owner of the vineyard, the owner of the vineyard loves to be generous. It's his joy. It's his passion, to which we say, thanks be to God. And Lord, make us unfair too, just like you. So as we prepare to leave here, let's do it with God's blessings that he promises to pour out on us in abundance. And so the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace.